Hey everyone, welcome to the Nanny Society Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Williamson. I wanted to take a moment to thank you all for the outpouring of support, kind words, and topic suggestions. It took me a long time to gain the confidence to leap into this, and it truly means the world to me to have so many people supporting me. Honestly, I thought that I would get a few listens from my friends and family, and I was totally okay with that. But when one of my mom friends posted about my podcast, I was floored. She had the most amazing things to say, and it actually brought me to tears. Happy tears, of course. A ton of her friends listened to my podcast, and I had people messaging me asking for more. Never in a million years did I think that I would gain so many listeners with two little episodes, especially when I make little mistakes. So you're probably wondering where I've been. I took a few weeks off, which seems crazy since I just started, but really needed to take that time to reevaluate how I wanted my podcast to operate and what I wanted it to look like. When I first had this idea, I wanted it to be all about nannies, our work life, the struggles we face, the incredible moments of joy that we encounter. However, after my launch, some of the feedback I got and the messages of support, I want to be able to include more than just nanny life. I would like to reach as many people as possible and to include nannies and families from all walks of life. So, for today's episode, I had something completely different to discuss, but I wanted to throw this out there because it's fresh in my mind. As I've mentioned in a previous episode, I am a member in many nanny groups on Facebook, which is only scratching the surface of nannies. Many of these groups house nannies from all over the world, not just our backyard. I often see posts with comments that say, "Oh, you must be American. It's totally different here in the UK," or something of that nature. How amazing is it that I'm able to connect with women in my industry from across the globe? I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of cool. Just the other day, there was a debate about a car seat on one of the pages. I take pride in knowing a lot of information about car seat safety and often read reviews and articles updating me on the most recent safety practices. However, when I came across this particular post, I was floored. I had no idea that they have no chest clips in Europe on car seats. I actually felt a little bit ashamed that I didn't know because I'm constantly reading about safety, child safety here in the US and other countries. And as I'm talking to you right now, I just finished listening to the Practically Perfect podcast by Laura Brawley and Sue Downey. They are nannies in the nanny world and pretty well known. And their episode on, I think it was Sunday, talked about how they did not want to dive into car seat safety. So I think it's kind of funny that my topic this week is about car seat safety. So the original post wasn't even about the chest clip, but once I noticed it in the picture, I had to tune in for some of the comments because I couldn't be the only one who saw that. You see, here in America, the chest clip on a car seat, child's car seat, is extremely important. Or so we thought. We've been told countless times that this is what will save your baby from a car accident. I've read scholarly articles and informational reviews about this claim. It's what I've always believed. I had to know more. I dug in a little bit to find some scientific research of car seats, both here in America and in Europe. So myth number one is that many people think that the chest clip is important because it keeps your baby in the harness in a crash. This is actually false. The chest clip is a pre-crash positioner. It doesn't actually hold the baby in. The properly tensioned and placed harness does that and connect with the buckle between the legs. The chest clip's job is to make sure the shoulder straps are where they're supposed to be prior to a crash. In fact, in the event of an accident, the chest clip will often open and move down the harness of its own accord, all without injuring the baby or child. Myth number two, it's illegal to use a car seat that doesn't include a chest clip. This is false too. The Federal Vehicle Motor Safety Standard and Canadian Vehicle Motor Safety Standard the standards for, which are the standards for the child restraint manufacturers, do not require the use of a chest clip. However, chest clips have become so ubiquitous that they're included on the vast majority of car seats sold in the US and Canada. If your child's car seat includes a chest clip, use a chest clip. If your child's car seat does not include a chest clip, then you're probably not in the US or Canada. Myth number three, chest clips are dangerous. That's why European car seats don't have them. This is false as well. European standards require the child restraints need to be able to be released with a single motion. So chest clips are illegal, not because they're dangerous, but because releasing a child from a harness with a chest clip requires the child care giver to unbuckle both the buckle and the clip. European seats use other methods to position the harness correctly. So when I saw this picture, the car seat looked completely different than ours do in the US, and the straps were just positioned a little bit differently. And so it was interesting. But European seats use other methods. I said that already. They use other methods to position the harness correctly. Often this involves large rigid covers on the harness with a grippy backing that keeps the harness from shifting. Australian standards also do not disallow a chest clip, but car seat manufacturers down under, like European ones, do not use a chest clip to keep the harness in position. There is no reason American and Canadian seats couldn't use these methods, but refer back to myth number two. Myth number four, if your child's chest clip is too low, it could kill your baby by puncturing his organs. This is false. This outcome, while not completely impossible, is statistically nearly so. There's no documented case of a child being punctured by a chest clip. Thank goodness. If such a gruesome injury happened, it's unlikely the accident was survivable but to begin with, which is awful to even think about. But the real danger of a too low clip is that it might allow the harness to be too widely spaced at the shoulders. This could lead to increased head excursion, spinal, internal, and brain injuries, or even ejection from the car seat. So yes, a too low chest clip isn't safe, but not for the reasons many seem to think. Myth number five, if your child's chest clip is too high, it could strangle your baby in a crash. This is false. And again, this isn't how a chest clip works. As mentioned before, they're likely to separate and move down in a crash anyway. Having the chest clip too high could potentially lead to uncomfortable bruising on the throat and again, wouldn't quite space the harness correctly. Although being closer to the neck is far less problematic than falling off the shoulders. Myth number six, the chest clip isn't legally required, so I'll skip fastening it. False. Just because a functional part of a restraint isn't required by the Federal Vehicle Motor Safety Standard doesn't mean you don't need to use it according to the manufacturer's directions. Federal Vehicle Motor Safety Standard, that sounds like a lot to say in one word or one phrase, governs the minimum standards for design and restraint. The manufacturers choose how they will meet the standards. If the manufacturer says the chest clip must be fastened, then that means the chest clip is required to meet the crash testing standards set forth federally. My last myth, a fastened chest clip is enough for a short drive. I don't need to fasten the crash buckle. This is also false. The chest clip is not a restraint system. It cannot physically hold a child in the event of a crash. The crotch buckle does the hard work. If you're in a crash where the chest clip is fastened and the crotch buckle is undone, the chest clip will separate. Your child can be ejected and possibly severely injured or even killed. And I hate even saying that. Always follow the manufacturer's instructions for correctly restraining your child. So you're probably wondering why in the world I just decided to dive into car seat safety myths, right? Well, like I mentioned before, there was a post on a nanny page about a European car seat. The issue at hand was that the mother felt the nanny was buckling the seat wrong, and an entire conversation happened in the comments section because of it. It's something that some of us do every single day, strap a child into their car seat, right? We typically do it automatically without much thought, especially if we do it every day, multiple times a day. My point is here to make sure that you are taking time to buckle your child properly. Could be the difference between life and death or serious injury. And I don't mean to get all dark and heavy at the end of this. I just want to spread safety across the board when caring for a child, whether it be your own or someone else's child. So with all of that juicy info in your brain, let me end with a few topics about fun stuff. If you are not a part of the nanny community, or maybe you are a part of the nanny community and you don't know this exists, the Week of the Young Child is coming up soon. The Week of the Young Child is an annual celebration hosted by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. Some people refer to it as NACE. Even if you are not a nanny or don't employ a nanny, NACE has probably been in your life at some point. NACE is the governing body in which childcare centers report to in order to gain credibility for their center. The process to be NACE certified is a long and strenuous one because they only credit the very best. The standards are set very, very high, and I've actually had to go through the NACE accreditation twice at a preschool that I worked at. It takes a long time, months and months of hard work, but it's worth it. Anyway, the Week of the Young Child is April 16th to the 20th this year, and they encourage child caregivers of all types to participate in week-long celebrations. You can actually visit their website. They have some great activities and ideas and different themes for each day of that week. We are no different here in Pittsburgh, as we will be celebrating as a nanny community. Sue Downey from Nanny Palooza sponsors an event called International Nanny Training Day, which always falls on the Saturday of the Week of the Young Child. This year, I have taken the lead in my city to host our training event day, and we have more than tripled the attendance from last year. National Nanny Training Day is held to recognize the needs of young children and to raise awareness of the positive correlation between nanny training and quality care. This national initiative is part of the Week of the Young Child, like I mentioned before, sponsored by NACE, the National Association for the Education of Young Children. On Saturday, April 21st, nannies from all over the U.S. and the United Kingdom, Switzerland, and Australia will gather their local communities at training events designed to meet our unique needs. The goals for NNTD are to promote awareness of the importance of nanny training, offering an inclusive educational event for all nannies. And we actually opened our event up to people who are in the childcare field who may work in a childcare center this year. So we do have a couple participants for that area. Raising the overall quality of nanny care and or childcare, and encouraging the growth of the NNTD movement by supporting each other's efforts. As nannies, this is very important to us because we don't have a governing body in which we receive formal education or certification. So by having these training days all over the U.S. and other countries, we are providing education to nannies in a professional setting. We have some amazing speakers who are all doing this out of the goodness of their heart. And I am just so excited that we have had so much support, and it's going to be an incredible day, and I cannot wait to see everyone and meet all of the nannies in the community that I've not met yet. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope to start posting 1 to 2 episodes per week moving forward. I've had a huge inbox blast of nannies, moms, and nanny employers asking for help on many topics. Like I've said before, I'm not an expert. I don't know everything. But I love talking about these types of things. Often when I'm with my girlfriends, I'm the only one really that's not a mom, other than 1 or 2 of my friends. And I get that support from my mom friends and my non-mom friends as well. I love talking to moms and child caregivers of all types. I want to hear from you. Feel free to visit our Instagram or Facebook page, The Nanny Society, to send us a little note of encouragement or hopefully not hate. but hey, we're willing to hear from anyone. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.